This is Anna Carmo with UN News. In the 3 decades leading up to the COVID-19 pandemic, world tourism grew steadily year on year. But in 2020, the industry suffered an unprecedented hit, accounting for a staggering 70% of the fall in global gross domestic product, or GDP. The UN World Tourism Organization, UNWTO, has been constantly assessing the impact of the pandemic and working hard to help kickstart the industry on behalf of millions around the world who rely on it. Zorica Urozovic, UNWTO's Executive Director, spoke in depth to UN News' Bessie Du and highlighted the need to rethink the whole sector, boost rural tourism and improve safety for travelers.
Before the pandemic in 2019, we had 1.5 billion of international arrivals worldwide in tourism, which was representing 7% of world GDP. With the crisis, we have seen a total standstill of the sector, leading to, in 2020, minus 42% of world exports. So it's quite significant, 2.6 trillion. And then 70% of the global GDP drop was due to tourism stopping and ceasing. So we know that the magnitude of the sector, it has been the sector the most hit by the crisis. And it's not only the sector, it's all the people and the livelihoods that depends on it. The tourism ecosystem is very broad, and the supplies in tourism are not limited to tourism industries. They as well call upon the need and I can say the value chain and the supplies that relate to the value chain, being it food, being it other items and as well services. So basically, this has been two tough years, but we see that the future, we need to rethink the sector fully, and that's maybe an opportunity. Now, when it comes to the countries, there has been a huge difference between countries. Of course, developed countries have been better prepared in supporting the hit, while developing countries have been really suffering a lot. And in doing that, we have been, totally accelerating and scaling up our relation with the international finance institutions in order to deploy, economic diplomacy for supporting countries to integrate tourism recovery and support during the crisis in many developing countries. We created a tourism recovery package, which was a kind of a tool to rapidly assess and indicate a proper planning for what needs to be done in the country. So this is where we are. Now, where are we going to go? And this has been a very strong, discussion and debate in the General Assembly. We have created the first ever code for the protection of tourists, because building confidence is really a very essential element for people to decide to travel. I mean, we're all travelers. It's part of our DNA today. We all want to escape somewhere. Now, while doing that and engaging to facilitate, safe resuming of travel, we sense that we have seen that there is a total disparate rules and regulations in travel. So we have put together the consultation among member states and industry partners to create the first global code for the protection of tourists, which have been approved by the General Assembly. The coming years are going to be very crucial, because we know that investment is going to be very necessary to undertake that transformation. But that transformation is as well something that is very much colliding and corresponding to a new trend of the travelers. People are staying longer, they are more responsible, and they are looking for places which are less crowded. Rural development through tourism has been really at the forefront, and it's going to be certainly one of the major, new trend in the development of the sector. which is good in a way, because this has been the main problem of many government, the rural evasion, I can say, to the city, to the urban area, is going to, this trend has been reversed. And I think this is a very positive outcome.
Back to COVID-19, the crisis was just incredible. Would you say this is unprecedented hit on the tourism industry?
Totally. It's like we went back 30 years in 2020, while tourism was steadily growing plus 4% every year. Mm-hmm. Yep. All these last three decades. Mm. So we went back to a situation where we have a lot of supplies, a lot of businesses, mm-hmm. and no tourists. Mm-hmm. So this has been certainly the biggest crisis ever for the sector. And as I said earlier, the drop in GDP in 2020, 70% of the global GDP drop is due to tourism ceasing operations. Mm. That is showing the magnitude of the crisis.
Yeah. A crisis at this scale, talking about recovery, it's almost like impossible to recover that loss within a short period of time. What are the specific strategies that have been discussed?
First, many countries have immediately moved into diversification from international tourism to domestic tourism. Now, this is possible and feasible in big countries where the purchasing power is there, where the size allows for it. It's very different if we look at domestic tourism in China, for example, okay? And if we look in Fiji, island states have been the mostly hit by the crisis because their GDP represents between 40 to 70% of their island GDP, of seeds GDP. So they don't have much alternatives. They have two things. Usually it's fisheries and tourism. Mm. And we know as well that the ocean economy is 70% held by tourism. Mm. So it's like everything that has to do with coastal area is related to tourism activity. And as I said, one is the domestic tourism capacity to develop and deploy, stimulating new offers on a domestic level. Second is to be very well prepared to be able to host tourists. Mm-hmm. So local protocols, travel protocols, which I can say are not harmonized. Mm-hmm. We are calling for harmonization, but this does not depend on us. And we as a UNWTO, even ICAO, doesn't have a regulatory framework and we cannot impose on countries, okay? Public health corridors, for example, are one of the tools that have been deployed. They have been very effective, but they have been as well very volatile because until the time you set the framework and agreement between two or three destination or countries, the situation, the pandemic has changed and you cannot even apply what you have been working towards. Mm. So this has been extremely complicated. We have been trying to push and with international standard organization, we have created protocols to help industry at the country level, being it restaurants, hotels, bars, transportation, local activities to be like following a path on safety protocols. So that has been implemented. Mm-hmm. Now, what has been the countries and the destination that have been the most successful were the ones that were able to communicate very clearly and spell out what are the protocols, what are the restrictions, what is possible, how it is possible from country to country. Greece, for example, is a great example to share in Europe in 2020, the first summer of COVID, right? Mm-hmm. After everything and everywhere we were under lockdown, they were the best communicators of what they created as protocols. They opened their customs, I remember, 2nd of July, 2020, but they communicated well in advance. And many tourists that were planning to go to Italy, to Spain, to south of France, and so on, this and the basin like Morocco and so on, they decided to go to Greece. They canceled the vacation where they were going, and they decided to go to Greece because they were sure about what was provided, and they had an incredible uptake in even though in the drop, but they had less. So communicating well about your protocol is essential. And then, of course, many countries have seen the opportunity to take advantage of the financial flows available for trying to encourage another type of operation in greening operations. That is an agenda that we strongly believe could become a very important one for the future and for recovery.
As you said earlier, this industry, this sector is not just numbers and percentage, it's a lot of people's livelihood.
Absolutely.
If you have one message to these people who depend on this sector for their livelihood, to feed their kids, to send their kids to school, what would your message be?
First, I can tell you that the sector is very resilient. It has shown resilience on any crisis because we all dream, we all want to travel. So I think that in the meantime, definitely we need to find alternatives in terms of scaling up. Education training is one option. It's like in the meantime that we recover the numbers, it is an opportunity. But I think that the future is even brighter because I think that it's going to be a mutual happiness of re-seeing the tourists coming, people coming, enjoying the places they go. They will be more respectful as well. And there is going to be, I can say, a new path for happiness through tourism and a cultural exchange and a mutual exchange.